We all know Amazon has amazing deals and free shipping on orders over $25. If you use our link on our website, tagcastpodcast.com, we'll get a small kickback and you'll be supporting our show. Just go to the top right hand of our website, tagcastpodcast.com, and click on the link.
Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
Tagcastpodcast.com.
And now it's time for the Tagcast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. My name's Terry Guile.
I don't like your jerk-off name. I don't like your jerk-off face. I don't like your jerk-off behavior. And I don't like you, jerk-off.
See, because I paid a link for weed like in the 70s and I never got the real one back.
You just got tagged.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.
And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
I heard in Hawaii, your spam email is your good email.
The Tagcast Podcast starts right now.
Jerry, Jerry, Boberry, Banana, Banana, Boberry, me, Mamo, Mary, Jerry.
Hey, it works with Terry, too.
Jerry, Terry, Boberry, Boberry. Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to a TagCast Extra Cast. I am co-host Gatch. I am here with Terry Guile and guest Jerry Murphy. And
we
today,
see you in hell.
We will see you in hell. Today on our extra cast, we are talking about metal albums of 1984. This is a list I got from a random guy on Amazon.com, who is an affiliate of ours. You can go there and buy any of these albums, or check out and sample any of these albums. Metal albums of 1984.
Now, I might have been mistaken. I think Grim Reaper, See You in Hell might have actually been released in 83, but hit the charts in 84. So
that's when it was up for the awards.
It counts in 84 for Best Metal Album of the Year. See You in Hell, my friend. I'll see you in hell.
Now, you guys are both big into metal in 1984, right?
I was getting there.
Yeah. In metal, I mean, in 1984.
Yeah, my cherry was just getting popped, like I shared with you earlier.
Yeah.
My parents are... They like Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, they were conservative, right? And they didn't want you listening to
it
those.
It was on the down low. Uh-huh. Okay, I wasn't playing that stuff like for them to hear. Yeah. You know.
Your parents
my
were very religious. My dad was
would have been
religious.
Frowned upon if they knew my allowance was going to buy a metal album.
Yeah, and so you bought Huey Lewis instead.
So we shared. We had a system going. We had a network.
But did they make you go to church a lot when you were growing up?
They did.
And wasn't Catholic church? It was Christian.
It's all the same shit, man. But yes, it was Protestant, if you will. There was no incense, and they didn't give two shits about what the Pope thought.
Okay. That's cool, because I was raised in churches as well, and my dad used to take me to a lot of revivals with big ministries and get prayed for and laid on of hands with speaking in tongues and whatnot. And reminds me of that movie Religious, which is a Bill Maher movie.
Yeah.
Saw that documentary.
Yeah, it's good. They were talking in tongues and whatnot, but just pretty ridiculous. But I think being raised in a Christian home maybe makes you steer more towards the rebellious side, like metal.
When you do rebel, you're on that rebellion.
Well, you just have a lot more information to, you know, make your decisions based on experience, etc.
Yeah, so I'm writing down a few that I know came out in 1984. I haven't got a peek at Dustin's list yet.
Yeah,
so
we'll see at the end.
What do you got to start us out with?
With number, I'm going to take this as if it's in order because it kind of looks in order. Number 16, Wasp by Wasp.
Self-titled.
Yes.
Now I don't know how many of you know this, but I had the record, and on the little clear shiny part that's between the label and the last song, it said, "We are sexual perverts." That's what Wasp
said.
I thought it was Satan's people.
That was another rumor also, and I'm sure they embrace that as well.
Yeah.
And of course, the whatever white Anglo-Saxon person or whatever Wasp stood for. But yeah, so that was a great album. That had such hits as I Want to Be Somebody and L-O-V-E.
I thought you were meaning L-O like...
I'm blind.
Found in Texas.
Yeah,
no,
that was later.
Oh, shit.
Different album.
I thought you were meant hello,
rewind.
Like, I'm from Britain, and I'm saying hello, like, hello.
Hello, hello kitties.
I'm not talking
hello,
about...
Hello, matey.
Could I get trick. A biscuit?
Hello. You silly bastard. All okay, right. So that was a pretty familiar one with me. I actually had the vinyl. I traded it for something later, record for record, maybe for Peace of Mind, which I think was 83. I think Iron Maiden skipped 1984, but we'll get to it later. What else you got?
Well, the if you had a 3-CD set, how many vinyl pieces would that be?
Three.
I have a 2-CD set that's a 3 vinyl, but... That's usually what it works out.
Well, this one's a 3-disc set. It is War and Pain by Voivod.
Now, I don't think they had that on vinyl, but maybe.
That is, maybe.
It might have been a re-release.
Or is it maybe like an underground release?
It was pretty underground. That was before they had, you know, I had never even heard of Voivod till like 1989.
Like 1990 was the first time I heard of it.
I have seen at least one in here that I know for sure is like... Pretty deep cut.
Now, I know that my friend Phil Golding is a big fan of Voivod. I got into Voivod around 90, Nothing Face. Lance Still turned me onto that. And their old stuff was way more punk influenced and hardcore, not hardcore by today's standards of hardcore metal bands, but hardcore punk.
Will I lose metal points if I ask if I pronounce that right, Voivod?
Oh, that's correct.
That's right.
You won't lose metal points, Voivod.
I'm editing that out for my metal points.
Metal points down. But yeah, Voivod was good. I wished I had heard that album in 1984, but I don't know that I would know that album right now. That's how my metal points are going down. My street cred is falling quickly with the Voivod minus metal points. That's a good one, though. I know for sure. And this is someone you don't actually know. That
I do not know
list?
These persons.
Random dudes.
I looked at his credentials of the top few and then just kind of went with it from there.
Right on.
So, 14, guitar virtuoso, rising force by Yngwie Malmsteen.
Are you sure you pronounced that correctly?
I have no clue on that one. I'm just
Yngwie Malmsteen. Now, at this point, he had already perfected the craft of slinging his guitar over his shoulder like Cinderella.
Like a winger.
And we actually missed Yngwie on the Dio Last in Line tour. We were late arriving to the show, and he was mostly instrumental. That album was mostly instrumental.
You missed him, you said?
We did.
Were you the last in line?
We were the last in line. It took us an hour and 10 minutes to get there. But we heard good stuff. Now, wait. I think I'm getting my information mixed up.
That's White Lion.
It was White Snake.
Wait. Come on.
White Snake opened for Dio on the Last in Line tour. Yngwie opened for him on Holy Diver. So there's
been
your.
Out too long when I'm in my chair.
That's your corrected information. And Jeff Scott Soto was the singer of Rising Force, and he waited in the wings most of the show because most of his songs were instrumental. But he used to play for a band called Steeler with a little-known vocalist named Ron Keel.
Yeah,
who fought for his right to rock.
Motley Crue sang about Ron Keel. Did you know that?
No.
He got the looks at Keel. He
kind of looks like Ron Keel. Okay. All right.
Number 13. I know you guys saw these guys. Bonded by Blood, Exodus.
That was one of my first metal shows after Raven and Anthrax and the Wild Dogs. Bonded by Blood.
How was that experience going to that show? Where was it at?
It was an excellent experience featuring Exodus and Exciter.
it was the X.
And it was Megadeth, too. And it was at the Pine Street Theater, 1985. And so the album had been out for
Pine
a while,
Street,
obviously, if it came out in 84. Lance and Pat and Ron wore spandex, striped spandex, like Steve Harris from Iron Maiden. And I just remember that the lyrics to Exodus songs were super satanic and dark and demonistic. And all these weird... metal guys from Portland were all just like singing along with the words.
My favorite lyrics, dude, is cut the bone to the flesh. Use a plastic knife.
Yeah, mine too. But unfortunately, I read the lyrics on my record, and it says use a rusty knife.
He says plastic.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, rusty like the white is more window. Metal, though.
Yeah. So we'll have to listen to that later. But yeah, Bonded by Blood, definitely classic.
Did I hear rusty? Use a
rusty trombone.
I think he said a rustic knife.
Oh. Rust. Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense.
It just looks really old.
Plastic use knife
a
is
rustic
better.
Knife from Antique Roadshow.
This is the actual knife.
Speaking of this is Spinal Tap by Spinal Tap.
That came out in 1984.
Can we turn this up to 11? Like now?
We can.
So are you saying that that movie was released that year, or is that the...
I'm going by the list, man.
Movie soundtrack?
Going by the list.
Doesn't say if it's a movie soundtrack.
Doesn't say. Are you getting frustrated?
No, not at all. I heard a couple Spinal Tap songs on the Metal Zone.
Uh-huh.
That was from mid-80s. Big Bottom was a big hit.
Yeah.
Big Bottom... Big Bottom, talk about mud flaps, my girl's got 'em. Big Bottom, going
now when
out
he
of
said,
my mind.
Now when he
how
said,
did I leave this behind?
Now when he said mud flaps, he was talking about like...
fat.
No, he's talking about like a pickup.
Right?
from a pickup? No, I think he was talking about big old mud flaps.
Oh,
with Yosemite
it.
Sam on them.
Yosemite, Yosemite.
That would be
Sam.
Nice if a big old
back
chunky,
off,
big old chunky girl got the Yosemite Sam
Yosemite
mud
Sam.
Flaps tattooed on her.
Oh, dude, so good. Yeah,
that'd be so good.
So... All right, now I think this is a deep cut, especially for 1984. It's gotta be.
Queen sung about big bottoms too, and this.
Yeah,
big bottoms were
bottom.
In, dude,
yeah.
In the early 80s.
Yeah.
They did.
Mm-hmm.
Projects in the Jungle by Pantera.
Dude, I didn't even know Pantera till Cowboys from Hell. I wasn't turned on to him yet. So
now
that's
pre-Phil.
That's got to be it, because they had like three before their first like major release, right?
Power Metal was 1987, and that's when they had Phil, but they didn't have Phil yet. I've never heard that album. I don't know what they're singing.
I have never
I
either.
Think that he's a high singing guy
probably.
On this album.
I'm
well,
sure
they
it's,
were, they
I'm
were
sure
definitely,
it's good, but I'd have to pass because I don't
definitely
know
like
about it.
Butt rock back in the day, right?
Oh, for sure.
Oh,
big
yeah,
hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, big hair. Lots of hairspray and
uh-huh.
maybe even some
bullet
makeup.
Belts.
Oh,
yeah.
Bullet belts.
Oh, yeah.
I love bullet belts.
Me too. Yeah. You know where I can get one?
Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Can what
they,
are you going to pick?
Conch belts there too?
Hot Topic.
Yes, please.
So is this the list of 16?
Yeah. Oh, you guys have ever been over to Arizona, down in Arizona?
Yeah, it's a dry hop.
Specific.
Well, you know, I mean, you go down to Arizona and you lift up a rock and you might get a love of first sting by the Scorpion.
Oh, you guys were talking about love ballads the other day. Of course, I was just listening to the podcast,
uh-huh.
and I'm like, dude, Scorpions!
Yeah.
But we failed to
talk
mention
talk about
them.
A power ballad. Come on.
That is true.
Now, Love at First Sting, I really got into
love
when it first came out.
Love at First Sting!
I didn't.
That's the AC/DC combination hybrid.
Yeah, he tried singing Heartbreaker the other day, and it was Hot Pockets.
Well, yeah.
Heartbreaker! What are you going to pick? But, So Love at First Sting, I was listening to KGON a lot then, and they were on the top 5 of 5 a lot with the third track, which came after Rock You Like a Hurricane. I can't remember what the song was.
Still loving you.
Now, if you want to hear a good rendition of that via karaoke, you just listen to Dave Wilson. That motherfucker can belt that shit out. And yes, I said motherfucker. But, yeah, it had that song on it. It had Big City Nights.
Big City!
I thought
they said Big Titties this whole time.
Big Titties.
You know how 25 years goes by? Wait a minute. 36 years? 38 years? That's 28 years? What? Never mind.
What?
So that's another one of those tapes that Dan Morgan brought around, along with probably some more that are on that list from 1984.
No, I'm good.
And you guys said that, you know, you were just getting into the metal at this time, right?
Pretty much.
So before that, you know, you're just rocking.
But it was hard rock that I was more influenced by, by my parents, you know.
It was, you know, the churchy thing going on. It was all the, look at this. This is Blue Oyster Cult. See that symbol? That's satanic. Listen to this. That's Stairway to Heaven. That's
backwards.
Not right. Blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Don't listen to everything all the way down to the Beatles. And it's like, really? And then I'm like, where can I get my hands on some of this shit?
Yeah.
Well, the segue I was working, though, is you guys were rocking with Doc and Tooth and Nail.
Oh, dude.
Number nine. Yes.
Breaking the chains that bind me.
Yeah, I had that record as well. I have the record sleeve still, but I don't have the vinyl anymore.
Oh, man.
Got loaned out or put in the wrong sleeve.
Let's give a quick shout out to Dixie, who has their wall covers in albums.
They have their walls covers in
again
walls
in
covers.
English.
They have their walls covers in albums covers and what's the stories with the albums covers?
Are those his albums that he just put up? The
he
covers?
Has been collecting these albums covers from many peoples but who he, comes into show.
Yeah.
I've given him a few albums covers. One of them is Iron Maiden. Where's the vice from? I brought in some albums covers.
I am from the far eastern island of Anyas. I am on your knees.
Anya.
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 Hello. Anya.
Anya.
Hello, kitties. So, yeah, he has lots of album covers.
Somebody shaved my pushy. It's stuck in a tree.
Call out the fire department. So, yes, as many albums covers, I don't know what got us from the album cover.
Docking.
Oh, man, I apologize.
And that has a tooth and nail. It has a claw on it. Like, that had a ballad of Alone Again. I'm alone again.
Alone.
Without you. Yep. So, Docking had that. Had that album. Some of these I've had. Some of them I haven't. Yeah. Some women.
Did you have?
I've had.
Apocalyptic Raids by Hellhammer.
What the? I don't even know.
No, I think that's a precursor to Celtic Frost, excuse the soft sea.
Speaking, let's go straight to number seven then. Morbid Tales.
Celtic Frost.
Emperor's Return.
I have that cassette tape as we speak. It's at my house.
Now, what were you saying about Hellhammer and Celtic Frost?
I believe Hellhammer was Celtic Frost before they changed their name to Celtic Frost.
Apparently in 1984.
Tom G. Warrior. Yes, they probably released
both. Is that his real last name?
No.
His real last name is Rose.
Tom G. Rose. Tom Rose. Primrose. No, but that was an excellent album as well. It had Dethroned Emperor.
Yeah.
Which someone would like to read as Dethroned Emperor. But it's called Dethroned Emperor.
Were they an orb band? Did they hold the orb?
InvisibleOranges.com.
Hate to the arteries, mass hypnosis.
No, I don't believe that they held the oranges, but they did wear some dark eye makeup around their eyeballs. And
lots of purple.
They had double bass. Their drummer's name was actually Hellhammer.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the name came from. I don't really like people who just have names that are something like, hi, I'm Hellhammer. I play drums for Celtic Frost. I drive on a train over across to Latvika. All right, what do we got after Celtic Frost?
This next band, I think, was a big fan of the Invisible Orange on a self-titled album.
Dun, 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 dun.
Bon Jovi by John Bon.
Oh, God. Oh. How many times do I have to fucking say that Bon Jovi is just the fucking poor man's Bruce Springsteen?
Is he metal?
He's the heavy metal version of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce, is he metal, though?
Bruce Springsteen cannot hit them high notes.
Bruh. Was that metal in 1984?
It was, dude. It was Jersey metal straight up.
Living on a prayer.
Hey.
Was that even that album?
We talked about My Little Runaway. She's my little runaway. Yeah, I don't know.
Echo. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. This is the top five of this list.
Top five of five.
Slayer, Haunting the Chapel.
Yes, yeah, please.
That's not really fair, but we'll
dude,
take
let's
that.
Just look at the soundtrack of Down by the River.
Is
you guys
84?
Ever see that show?
It's 84. No.
Down by the River.
No, River's Edge.
Oh, shit!
Oh, river!
God damn!
You're so stuck on Matt Foley.
Yes. You're thinking of River's Edge, which
Dennis
is...
Dennis Hopper, man, with the blow-up doll.
I remember looking at my leg next to that can of beer.
Yeah.
And I was wondering... I wonder if there's any beer in that can.
I've heard that somewhere before.
Yeah, that's from that movie. It had Keanu Reeves and...
Dennis Hopper.
What's that
one? So Haunting the Chapel.
That did come out in 84, but it was a mini album only consisting of three songs.
Yeah.
Chemical Warfare, Haunting the Chapel,
and
Captor of Sin.
Uh-huh.
Now, I was under
why do you think that's not fair, though?
Well, I guess mini albums can be included on the list.
Uh-huh.
I was under the impression that Hell Awaits came out in 84.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But I think it was 85 now that you have said Haunting the Chapel. But yeah, I did not have that album. I saw Slayer in 1985 for the first time.
Dive of the Sword.
And they were doing Chemical Warfare. Everyone was yelling, Chemical Warfare! Chemical Warfare! And I didn't know
and Chemical Warfare. And they threw out Chemical Mustard Gas?
No, they finally played the song, but I wasn't familiar with the song. I didn't know why these people were yelling it. But Jeff Hanneman had an Yngwie Malmsteen shirt on, Rising Force, which is weird because that's on on the list.
It's a small world.
Yeah, and small.
And you're called Yngwie.
But I would say I'm glad that Slayer made the top five.
Oh, for sure. They'd have to, right? If they had an album come out, you'd have to put them in the top five.
What's worse for a first name, Yngwie or Alva?
Aldo.
Yngwie, Alva.
What's Alva? How about Aldo? How about Aldo? Aldo Nova.
How about Elbow last name Macaroni?
Life is just a fantasy. Can you live this fantasy life?
Elbow Macaroni.
Oh, no! Aldo Nova.
Did you get in any fights in 1984?
I was in the 10th,
I did actually.
I was in the 10th grade.
Yeah.
It was very short though.
Was it?
Yeah.
When you fought him, did you fight him with a fistful of metal?
Oh.
By Anthrax?
I did not.
That was the first album I bought not with my own money. Me and my friend Wade went in on it, and it was at the Record Garden in Eugene.
Uh-huh.
He asked for the heaviest, hardest, thrashiest.
Fistful of metal.
Yeah, and the guy had like a fist wrapped in like barbed chains and shit, and he was punching him through the back of the head, and it was coming out of his mouth.
Uh-huh.
But that had
pre Not Man. Did Not Man come out after that?
Yeah, this was pre that. True that. But it had metal thrashing mad. It had their original singer, Neil Turbin. He sang very high, metal thrash.
And
mad.
Some great anthems, too, though, on that shit.
The Subjugator.
Flash! Ah!
They did not do that, however. But Fistful of Metal, very great album.
Yeah.
For sure. It was one of my first thrash metal shows at the Starry Night Club in July of 84.
What happened there? That was monumental.
I'm curious how much puke has been in the Starry Night. Dude. I puked there.
Yeah.
Where do you think the stars are made from?
I don't know. But when the whole floor is bouncing, you know, the floor is bouncing.
Because they got a downstairs room.
Yeah.
It's like the Crystal Ballroom. It's fun. But yeah, I don't think anything really monumental happened besides I saw those bands for the first time and was pretty much blown away by them. And I did catch a Anthrax drumstick and then it got kicked out of my hand, which was weird. You talking Indian to me?
No, I said ow.
Oh, I thought you said how. I was just holding it, and they kicked the end of it. There's crowd surfing. I'm like, yeah, I got a stick. And I was like, kicked it right out.
I hope you didn't get a splinter.
Nope.
So splinter. I made a vital error.
Holy shit.
Slayer is actually 4, and Anthrax is 3, but number 5 was... Holy. What's the ultimate... album of 1984.
Metallica?
Holy shit.
No.
Right. Oh, what is it?
1984 by Van Halen.
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
Dude.
Now, that actually, I thought, came out in 83, but I don't know for sure.
Hmm.
I just thought that it came out like right around Christmas or something, but I'm probably mistaken.
I claim no affiliation with this dude who made this list.
That's cool, but the album was called 84, so it was probably released in 84, just like the book.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Oh, wait, the book, the song by David Bowie. Oh,
what
wait.
Song on 1984 is a trivia quiz? What song on 1984? Now, okay, let's turn this into a game. I'm going to go back and forth with one of you guys and then do another one, and then whoever can't name one first loses. All right, name a song off of the album 1984 that was not played on the radio as a hit.
I'm Ice Cream Man.
No, nope, that was played as a hit.
That's from the first album.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Running with the Devil, or just Van Halen?
I would say that not as a hit would be like. But later they were all played on the radio.
That's,
Top Jimmy.
I don't even know to. I don't know the correct
Drop
answer.
Dead Legs.
Pop for Teacher. That was a video.
I thought that was just.
I'll
a band.
Wait. That was always played on the radio.
Panama was on MTV.
Can we just
Eruption.
Get, can we just go to straight to number two here?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
With
let's do it. Is it funny?
Power Slave by Iron Maiden.
All right. That's a joke. So I saw him the year after that on the tour, but I did have, still do have the Iron Maiden Power Slave album.
Uh-huh.
Excellent Egyptian.
Do you still have the shirt?
I have a very small jersey, a Joyzy.
A small now you're going Joyzy. Back to Bon Jovi.
It's a small Joyzy that doesn't fit me, but I let my little godson wear it. But yeah, it's got the whole world tour of all those places they went, like
uh-huh.
Yugoslavia. They went all over the place. But Power Slave, good album. Only four songs on the first. I think only seven songs on the whole album.
Wow.
This guy knows way more than me.
14-minute song is The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, which takes
and that
up,
song is about which one of the mariners up in Seattle?
Ichiru.
Negative Ghost Rider.
Is that his name? Do you know who I'm talking about? Yeah. Okay.
Ichiro.
Ichiro is correct. Good,
and,
good answer. Good answer.
So then I was watching that religious thing, and they were talking about the god Horus. And he was an Egyptian god, and in Power Slave they sing about the god of Horus, who actually was born of a virgin.
Are you sure it wasn't Horus?
Had 12 disciples, was crucified on a cross, walked on water, healed people, and healed blind people. But Jesus didn't have nothing to do with them, and they didn't copy the story.
No, he's just a little horse. Oh, wait, Horus.
That's called a pony.
So, you know, theme, was it a theme album?
A Little Horse is
no,
called
no, no,
or did
no.
their art just reflect theme album me?
It was a theme for the song Power Slave and the whole album cover, and then it had like 2 minutes to midnight, back in the village, Aces High, all good songs.
Wow.
Good
song
album.
Song don't they play on the radio now? That one.
I have Aces High on karaoke. So there's
ooh,
that.
Wow.
Thank you.
Anybody take that on?
So we're done. That was number two?
Yeah.
I'll do
so. So this is some random dude's number one album.
Yeah.
It's Ride
the Lightning by Metallica.
It's Metallica. That's right. Now, I miss Metallica on their Ride the Lightning tour. Because
I miss the Metallica that was Metallica.
I was told that it was 21 and over, but it was not. It was at the Starry Night Club, which was 21 and over upstairs.
Did you build a Shiv for that guy that told you that? But not actually use it and go through.
No, I actually used a butcher knife and I cut his throat.
Why didn't you use a plastic knife?
No.
Or was that rusty knife?
I used rustic knife.
Rustic knife.
That he got on Antique Roadshow.
Exactly. And it was rusty and rustic and plastic. Plustic. Crustic. And rustic.
Thrashing
and,
around.
Yeah, so I did not hunt the guy down because I actually heard it on, I think, one of my friends, I don't even know. But one of my friends that I thought was my friend, who was just my acquaintance, who was lying to me, told me that it was 21 and over. I didn't go. Pat and Lance, all those guys, they went. Armored Saint opened up. Now Lance has a cassette tape. Actually, I have it now at my house of Metallica live at the Starry Night Club on the Ride the Lightning tour, and they played The Money Will Roll Right In.
Wow.
By Fang.
Fang.
Later done by Mudhoney.
Uh-huh.
And he's all, I'm James Hetfield, yeah.
Later
this
done.
The,
later, later, later done by Nirvana.
Yep. 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 So, yeah, I had
that was a pretty monumental album, though, right?
Yeah.
Ride the Lightning.
You know, it comes straight out of the gate with Fight Fire with Fire. This is when
I've tried and
what did Mustaine
really work.
Peeled off and did Matrix, right?
See, and then they start out with like a mellow acoustic guitar intro, which became the staple for about two or three albums where they do that, like they did on Battery. And goes right into Fight Fire with Fire, then Ride the Lightning, For Whom the Bells Toll, Ballad City with Fade to Black, and then right back into Hellish Crossfire.
They don't let up on that album, do they?
No, Trapped Under Ice, and then Escape, and Creeping Death was the hugest hit ever off of it.
At what point in the album?
Budgie or...
Bad Friends,
what's the other one was... Am I Evil?
Yeah. Yeah, but that wasn't on that album.
Is that Budgie too?
No, I think that was Diamond Head.
Oh, yeah.
Budgie did Crash Course in Brain Surgery and Bread Fan.
Except it sounds like Rush.
I thought it was Bedpan. Bedpan, take another shit, take a piss, take a poo. Something.
Keep on pushing buttons.
Now, if you think of Ride the Lightning, what is the pinnacle point of Ride the Lightning as an album?
A point?
The intro?
What is, like, dun, 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 dun. As you listen to it as an album, where is like your point that it's just like, where is your...
last song is a big instrumental
search
thing.
Search and seek and destroy. Wrong. No? What, did I get the wrong freaking
album? Kill 'em All.
God damn it, it's the next album.
Yep.
This guy's blowing me out of the water, man.
Creeping Death is the penultimate song of the album, and it builds and it builds, and it tells the story about the Pharaoh's son and how they're killing everybody, more biblical things. And then it goes into The Call of Cthulhu, which is written by Dave Mustaine partially. And I think that's the most epic moment of the album. It's got that freaky sounding little clean intro on the guitar. And it's just a good tune. It rounds out the album pretty nicely, I think.
Is it Orion that is the pre whatever to
Damage Incorporated? That's on Master of Puppets.
Ride the Lightning. No. I mean, the song itself.
Orion is on Master of Puppets.
What the hell am I thinking? What's the instrumental that starts off before it comes into. You know what? I'm just going to back up and leave your driveway because I don't want to turn into sausage.
Yeah.
It's 2x4.
There was no instrumental on Kill 'Em All.
That was reload.
And then, like, the instrumental on Ride the Lightning was the last song of the album. Yeah. And then the instrumental on Master Puppets was Orion, which was right before. Dun, dun, dun.
So what do you think? Did they exclude
Damage
any albums that you would have put in there from 1984?
Well, I think
the Twisted Sister, Stay Hungry, if that's 1984, I'm just, you know, it was a while ago. But that was a freaking cool album, yeah.
Rat.
Out of the cellar. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Totally classic, awesome, classic. Killer, Major, Rager, Tager, Rip, Tear, Card,
what about,
Shred, Spin It Again.
Fastway?
Fastway, yeah. Yeah, that was a good album. What about
Rush?
The Motley Crue, Shout at the Devil?
Shout at the Devil.
Definitely. That was 84.
Did Megadeth have anything coming out that year?
No, they came out 85 with their first album.
What else we got?
What about Priest, dude? What was going on with Priest?
Yeah.
Well, Screaming for Vengeance was 82, so I think they were like... Defenders of the Faith.
What about Defenders of the Faith?
Which had
what about Sabbath?
Three Wheel Burning. Sabbath, I don't know.
They were with their... Were they Tony Iommi's Black Sabbath at that point?
Zero the Hero, maybe?
No, that was Dio, wasn't it?
It was Ian Gillan.
It was Born Again.
Yeah.
They had another album too, didn't they?
I don't think in 84.
No.
I don't know. You got to name other metal
bands.
And
then Dio, Heaven and Hell was right after that.
I think Dio was earlier. I think Heaven and Hell, because Dio was 84. Last in Line was 84.
Kicks.
Last in Line was 84. Well, there you go. There's another killer album.
Oh,
Last in Line, dude.
Yeah.
Duh.
Oh,
how
man.
How could I say it and not even know it?
Like this.
Defenders of the Faith, Judas Priest. That had Love Bites.
Love Bites by Def Leppard?
Hey, can you do... Hey, You're already God over there. Now you're cheating with the electronical device.
I'm just trying to add some to the list. Yes,
he
you
just
know,
needs a little light.
Merciful Fate came out with Don't Break the Oath in 1984. Armored Saint.
Don't you go breaking my oath. Is that how that
and
went?
Like you said, Twisted Hit Sister, Stay Hungry. Slide It In by White
Snake. What's that guy's name that does that song?
Okay.
Don't you go breaking my stride or spine.
You
does
just
he
got
say
ripped.
Stride or spine?
Nobody gonna slow me down. I got to keep on moving.
Is that you got Rick rolled?
Dude, is that that's
never gonna let you down. Never gonna let you down.
We just Rick rolled our 1,000 listeners.
Hurt you. Be sure to click on this link. It'll take you right to the video. Rick Astley is a faggot.
Oh, shit.
You just got Rick.
I've Rick had some
roll.
Bad Rick rolls to where
dude,
every
was,
line is like a pop up
that
you got to click on.
Aldo Nova. Life is just a fantasy. Was that 84?
83. He had that song about the monkey
somebody
on my back or something.
A bone over.
What about like Raven?
Well, they had All Leopard. For One in 83.
Yeah, Def Leppard. Mm-hmm.
Pyromania was 83, so I think they took 84 off. I think 85 was Hysteria.
Tua.
Yeah, they were on Tua.
Hysteria was so bad.
Stereo?
Hysteria.
Oh, man. That's after the drummer lost his limb.
What song on that album did they not play on the radio?
I don't think there was any of them.
Yeah, no shit, dude.
Never gonna let
did that
you
album
down.
Kill hair metal?
Don't you love those pot stickers?
Never gonna let you go. Live around and desert you.
Don't. Now it's stuck in my head.
Now it's stuck in my head.
I know you have officially been Rickrolled.
Yep. So when you go home searching on the internet,
how about Slade, dude? What were they doing?
Sade?
What about
Slade.
Quiet Riot? What was Quiet
Riot?
Mental health.
Wow.
That'll drive you mad, though.
It will. I got a mouth like an...
For those of you who don't understand Jerry Murphy speak, that was alligator.
That was me trying to do it in a Howdy Doody puppet fucking voice.
Alligator. What about Kiss? Kiss didn't have anything going on, huh?
Animalize.
Oh, dude, that's when they took their makeup off. Boom.
Yeah, that was a sore subject.
What about Manowar?
They did have an album, but it wasn't very good.
Eat it like a piece of
cake. So there's no other albums that you had that you thought should have been on the list?
Nope. No, I mentioned Merciful Fate, and that was about it.
All right.
Man, there's got to be something missing here.
Well,
what about
sure.
Queensryche, yo?
What
the lady wore black.
That's it.
Yeah.
And Queen of the Reich. That was bad.
You got to hold it a little longer, man.
That's what she said.
Don't waste that shit.
All right, so I think that covers our list,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I'd like to thank everybody for listening to this TagCast extrasode.
It is an extrasode.
It is an extrasode.
And where did Judas
what about
Priest
Anvil,
go?
Man? Everybody forgets about Anvil.
Where did Judas Priest go after 1984?
Probably to the donut hole in San Francisco is where Rob Halford was.
Oh, the donut hole?
My goodness.
Yeah, we went to a Raiders game down there.
But where do you think they went musically?
Oh. In the donut hole.
I'm your turbo lover.
Right, you know what that song's about, don't you?
Our next extrasode should be about 1986 metal.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so
all right, we'll see you next time, guys.
It might include this Turbo Lover with Judas Priest. Yeah. So, thanks for listening, you guys. Special thanks to Jerry Murphy for helping us out.
Rock on
and metal.
Bang your head till you're dead.
Metal. Gonna take you right in.
Wait, let me look that up on the internet real quick.
TagCastPodcast.com.